Hello, hello. Welcome back to Oh That Couple, starring myself, Sandra,
and Eric. Sit back, relax, and let's get right into it.
All right, everybody, welcome back to our podcast. We are so excited to be back yet again because we are finally done with our exams and everything. So that's why we have been missing for, I think, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We haven't done our podcast in.
It's been a minute.
But like always, I feel like we've done this like 3 times now where we're like missing for a few weeks and we come back because of like stressful situations and stuff. But we are ready to get into today's topic. And as you could tell, today we're going to talk about saying versus doing and why you should do more and actually say less.
Say less.
Well, this is a really popular topic for us because I feel like we both experience this, and a lot of people experience where they say they want to do a lot of things, but you never end up doing it because of certain comments you get from people or because you have certain standards you're trying to meet, and it's never going to be perfect. And if you think of perfection, you know, towards something you're freshly trying to start in, it'll never work out. And that's definitely something we experienced with this podcast, and we will definitely talk about our situations with it and how we started by saying a lot, you know, like constantly saying things about it and like wanting to start, but we never started it until later on.
Eventually, we just got the courage to just do it.
Yeah.
And now we're here.
Exactly. We'll point out some tips on how we actually got here. But what I wanted to mention was that most people talk about things they want to do, but never actually do them. So things like our podcast, like I mentioned, a popular, very, very popular in today's world, especially with COVID and everybody being at home, is workouts. You know, people are like, I want to work out. And then why don't they do them? Because maybe they're like, well, I don't have weights. That can stop you from doing it. Or maybe you're like, well, my gym has actually closed, so I can't work out. And these are all very untrue things.
Even with like, speaking of like workouts, like nutrition as well.
Exactly. That's a big excuse. You know, people like, and this is like us, we probably really suck our at this biggest too. Thing is like, we want to be healthy, but then we end up getting ice cream 24/7.
And not to sound kind of hypocritical, but like during COVID, you're exposed to so many things, and you know, sometimes it could be like you can get distracted of what you want and what goals you want to achieve.
Yeah, it's not that you're exposed to many things. There's actually less exposure to things, but you're so bored that you try to find different things to do.
You watch movies, especially ends up eating snacks.
So that was like our biggest thing. Is like we would just sit down every night and end off our night with like, you know, a bag of chips and ice cream. It's like, woke up the next day and it's like, okay, let's work out. Well, what did that help us with? Nothing. So we've kind of started implementing that, you know, do more and say less kind of thing. And then, you know, other people struggle with like homework, for example. For us, that was a big thing. And everybody has goals and everybody wants these goals. They want to reach these goals, but they are always saying it instead of just doing it. So some ways to change this now that we have come up with. Our first point is your routines. Do you have a routine? Do you just wake up and go with the flow? So for example, when I actually met Eric, he had no routines or anything set, and I was already a routine freak. And I was like, how do you just wake up and go with the flow? But that's the kind of person he was. He would just wake up and go wherever life takes him. And I was like, that was uncomfortable for me because I'm a very routine-based person.
I'm not complaining. I still like going with the flow.
Yeah.
But I also like having a little bit of structure into my day.
Yeah, exactly.
But hey, I'm still all about just going with the flow, you know?
Right. When it comes to certain things, like sometimes we'll be like, oh, let's go on a date and like, let's go get ice cream or let's go get some food. That's like not really routine-based. So we don't really schedule that. But when it comes to like scheduling, you know, like our workouts and things we need to get done, we're always trying to get into a routine. Now, another thing to kind of like change, so like I said, plan a routine, you know, like time-based kind of routine. So like, what are you doing in this hour? What are you doing in the next hour? At first, it might be like kind of uncomfortable, but sooner or later, it will be comfortable, like we mentioned on their last podcast. Another way to change kind of like the saying versus doing is habits. So that ties into routine. Like once you have a routine, these things click in as habits.
Yeah.
And the constant repetition of them turns them into habits. And then you don't really have to, I guess in a sense, have a routine because they're like habits. You just wake up and do them. Like I know now to like wake up, first thing I do is work out.
Yeah.
Every day.
And like there's good habits and there's bad habits. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the first step to like identifying your habits are being conscious of like what you're doing. So for example, with the whole going with the flow kind of thing that we mentioned earlier, I started becoming a little bit more aware of my bad habits and I was slowly changing that. So
yeah,
that's a good way to just kind of identify what kind of habits are good and what kind of habits are bad.
Exactly. So we want to cancel out those bad habits or reduce them as much as possible. So like our bad habit was constantly ending our day off with chips and ice cream. Now, it's a good thing because we set this like kind of routine or habit to unwind. We knew we needed that at the end of our day, but we kind of changed that instead of like snacking so much, you know, we would have a good dinner and then go and just watch a movie. And that's it. Like you don't have to snack, but we got into that routine where we were craving it, and to break that was hard, but you know, or implement healthier snacks. Maybe instead of bag of chips and ice cream, we would have just like a bowl of popcorn, and it's, you know, you can have much more for way less calories, for example. Now, another point is to create a timeline or schedule. So how I do that is, of course, I think I've mentioned this many times, is through an agenda. Agendas are very helpful.
It's like the holy grail on this podcast.
Yes. If you don't have an agenda and you don't know how to kind of like schedule things in, literally YouTube it. There's so many YouTube videos out there that people like show you how to create a timeline or a schedule. And I like, you know, like paper and pen. I've tried to do it on my iPad. That didn't last very long. I've tried to do it on my laptop. That didn't last very long. But, you know, some people aren't paper pen kind of people. So
you just got to figure out what works best for you. The reason why we don't use computers is just because there's so many distractions.
Yeah.
If you just look at an agenda, you just have a piece of paper.
And you know what to follow.
Just a couple lines. You write down what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You don't look at it afterwards.
Yeah. And creating a timeline and schedule helps you to actually do more instead of, you know, like sometimes I'll be like, oh, you know, for this assignment, I need to get A, B, and C done. And then that day I only get A done because maybe that's all I remember by the end of the day. That's all I need to do. But having it written down, it reminds me like, oh, no, wait, after A, I have to do B, and after B, I have to do C. So maybe I get A, B, and a little bit of C done, but that's much better than just getting A done. So that's why creating a timeline and, you know, time blocking is a very, very popular trend right now, I think. And that's something I like to do, where it's like every 30 minutes or every hour you have a certain thing you need to do. And that's something that helped me out with school, and you know, it helps maintain a calmness.
There's a whole bunch of I guess you call them apps on the computer which kind of help you time block.
Yeah.
And I forgot this one website, maybe we'll link it into the video on our Instagram or whatever, on our story. But it helps you time block and it helps you kind of reach out to your partners.
Yeah.
This could be like in a business or, you know, as classmates, and you guys will be able to know when a time or what is it? Like a due date is arriving.
Yeah.
To reach that next time block.
Yeah. So that's like something like, you know, people in business do. They have to have time blocking because they have to
reach a specific schedule, like deadline. So
exactly,
time blocking is super crucial because that's just how you're going to get things done.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of ties into our next point, which the timeline and schedule creates this sense of urgency. So like our podcast, we kept saying for a while, oh, we want to do a podcast. And we were saying it for like, we thought we would start it like last summer, and we never did. And we always said we were going to like do it over the summer, start in the summer, and we never did. And until I think we started school in September, and I had my hands back on an agenda, I literally wrote it down and I was like, by this day, we will have our first podcast ready to go. And this ties into what is called Parkinson's Law, which is the work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion.
I love this one because I've been doing not a lot of research, but I've been slowly getting myself more into it. But you could use this kind of law in all parts of your
life. Whether it's work, homework, workouts, goals,
anything. Yeah, literally anything. And like kind of like what Sandra said, it kind of ties into our last kind of method with creating like a sense of urgency. So I'll give you a quick little example. When it comes to doing schoolwork or homework, kind of like what the definition said, you're given a specific deadline. Most likely you'll use up that whole entire deadline to finish that project or that assignment. So what you want to do is you want to minimize that time. All right. And you could use this in a workplace too. Let's just say, for example, you're given a project and you're given a specific time to do that project. Nowadays, the main reason for this type of law is so that we can have more free time in our daily lives.
Yeah.
So there's a book called The 4-Hour Work Week, and it talks a lot about the new rich. Shout out to Tim Ferriss. But man, I love that book so much, and it teaches you a lot, and it kind of explains a little bit more on Parkinson's Law. Basically, nowadays, you want to have more free time.
More freedom.
More freedom to do.
You really want to do.
Exactly. So why not use this type of law to your benefit?
Yeah.
Why are you going to go into a workplace and use up, let's just say, for example, you're given a month to do a project. Why are you going to use up all that time when you could, when honestly, creating a sense of urgency, you can finish that whole entire project in less than a week.
Nah, I wouldn't say less than a week.
Theoretically, but I'm just saying, you know, like,
exactly,
you can cut down that time so much. And like, that's why, like, let's just say for most students, you would hear a couple of your classmates do projects last minute and they do so well. That's because there's a sense of urgency. So the method behind this is when you create a sense of urgency, you kind of start pushing away the stuff that doesn't really matter, and you focus more on the
things that
really
matter,
important parts of the assignment. Exactly. And I noticed that I caught myself a lot on this type of stuff too. So for example, this semester, last semester that we just finished was a little bit challenging. You know, we had a lot of projects that we had to do, and you know, it kind of caught up to us and we were getting a little bit more stressed out. But what we did, or what I noticed with myself, was instead of focusing on the smaller things, I started focusing on the details. What do I really need to do in order to get the mark that I need or the mark that I want? All right. And then you execute.
Exactly. And for example, so since I'm an architecture student, a lot of like architecture students work until like the exact time it's due. You know, you submit the project at the exact time, or some students even submit like after it's due. But I try to tend to finish projects. So I give a sense of urgency by finishing projects a day to 2 days earlier.
Yep.
So that way I'm not like stressing out to finish any projects. And usually for me, like, some people actually work better under stress. If I am stressed out, I will actually give up. So it depends on person to person, but I make sure to give this sense of urgency. So I'm like, oh, my assignment's due Wednesday. And in my head, I tell myself it's actually due Monday. And in my agenda, sometimes I actually trick myself. And instead of putting the assignment due on its actual day, I make it due a day or two ahead of time. So then you know, sometimes things change in life. Like, we have to come home, we have things to do, and I have more free time to do the things that I need, and I relieve the stress off of my shoulders, and I get things done much quicker and actually more efficiently.
And by no means are we saying that procrastinating is a good thing, but using that same principle, but just not doing it near the end of the deadline, but maybe beginning of the deadline, would be way more beneficial for you.
Yeah.
But like, I'm sure all of us have been in that situation before where, oh my God, we have this assignment that we haven't even started that's due the next day. So you're rushing to get those papers done, and the next thing you know, you get like an 80 or 90% on it.
Yeah.
By you initially just created a sense of urgency without even knowing it.
Yeah,
so take that same kind of like, oh my God, I need to get something done as quickly as possible, but just earlier.
Earlier. So then you get days off, or what I tend to do is do the touch-ups on that day, like minimal touch-ups. I'm not stressing. I'm, you know, preparing for my presentations if I have a presentation. Yeah. So honestly, it's a very, very important thing to do. And this is the exact same thing. We use Parkinson's Law for our podcast, probably without even noticing. So maybe over the summer, we didn't really use it because we were saying more than doing. But then when September came, we were like, okay, well, we're doing, you know, we're in school. We have our own apartment. Right away, I applied that Parkinson's Law and I scheduled it into the agenda. And because it was written down and scheduled, there was no way of missing out. And now we know that every Saturday, it's kind of like a habit, a routine, that every Saturday we have to record, even though today is Sunday. So we're still working around that, but we know that every Saturday or Sunday we need to release our podcast. And it's not that we want to.
Yeah,
it's, you have to want to do something. It's not like it's a chore. It's like, oh, we need to get this done. Sometimes we say we need to without even noticing, but always try to use the words, you know, we want to do this.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to get this done, not I need to. And that also kind of like helps you do more than say things. And kind of like our last point is just start, you know, start with a minute. And then from there, you will most likely continue. So this is like a very important tip for homework. Anybody that's in school, you know, you want to procrastinate. You're like, I literally hate this assignment. I don't even want to start it. I'm so lazy. But then if you, you know, you just tell yourself, okay, I'm going to do a minute or 2 minutes. And if nothing happens, whatever, I'll take a break. But 90% of the time, you will most likely continue it without even noticing. It's just that first, you know, start with anything you do, that first minute to 2 minutes, just starting something is so hard. Even sometimes working out for us is hard. It's like, oh, we don't want to work out. We're like tired, we're lazy, but just pushing that 1 minute and next thing you know, you're doing the whole workout without even noticing. And that's a very, very good trick to use.
And a good little thing that me and Sandra would like to do is, like, for example, getting out of bed, we will count, we will do like a little countdown from three. And as soon as one hits, we get right out of bed. Obviously, we haven't been really consistent with that. But on days when we're really feeling lazy, we'll kind of do that to each other.
That's kind of like the Mel Robbins trick. If you guys have read her book, I think it's called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 or something like that. It's about like waking up. Well, she had this bad habit where she wouldn't get out of bed. And then one day she saw a rocket ship kind of blasting off, and it kind of counted down from five. So it went 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and the rocket ship kind of launched. And she used that same idea for her to get out of bed or for her to do anything she kind of wanted to. So she's kind of doing more than saying, saying less, doing more. So in bed, you know, you wake up, your alarm goes off, like right away, count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And at one, you better be up and going. Don't even have a second thought, because your mind can trick you a lot of the times. It wants to make you feel comfortable. Who wants to just jump out of bed when it's especially cold in the house, you know, and you don't want to go into the washroom and splash your face with freezing water. It's like you want to be as comfortable as possible. But this kind of trick helps, like just that first minute, you know, just to start something or count down from 5 to 1 and get up and get going.
Now that you mentioned it, I've been kind of thinking about like some past experiences that I've that happened to me where I was counting down and stuff. And for those of you that don't know, I used to do parkour. Not anymore, but like if you really think about it on a psychological kind of point of view, it is like really fatiguing, and just like it's more of a psychological game than a physiological game. So what I mean by that, like pretend there's like a gap that you have to jump, and it's like one of those scary gaps. But you count yourself down, as sketchy as it sounds, but what I used to do is I would count down to three or whatever. And as soon as one...
from three.
Yeah, count down from three. And then I would go for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wouldn't even think about it. I would just do the action and then just go.
Yeah.
And then I'll think about it afterwards.
Exactly.
And I used that like method without even realizing it. And now that we're talking about it, I was like, oh, okay.
I used to do that.
I used to do that a lot now that I think about it. And it, like, the more you do it, the more that you'll notice that you're mentally stronger to do activities. So this really ties in with our topic on just doing more and saying less.
Yeah.
you kind of just have to push yourself.
It's like a blast.
It's a mental game. And one thing that me and Sandra kind of constantly talk to ourselves about is, like the more that we resist, the more, like with certain things, like let's just say, for example, junk food, the more that we resist, the more our mentality is stronger.
Yeah.
So by doing this kind of principle as well, you're going to be able to go after the things that you want to go after. Finish those deadlines before it's even due.
Yeah, and reach the goals you want to reach.
And if you apply all of these principles, like using time, what is it? Sense of urgency, creating a sense of urgency.
Yeah, timeline.
Using that Parkinson's law, like timeline and scheduling, time blocking.
Habits, all of those.
Habits, and using, what was her name again? The
Mel Robbins
technique.
Yeah.
All of these things, and like, now that I'm kind of thinking about it, it's like kind of like motivating myself to like start using these techniques too.
Yeah.
But like, honestly, just kind of like do it. And these are like, and also keep a pen and paper with you. By having these things visually, you're able to see these goals happen in real time. And it'll work out better than you just mentally doing it.
Exactly. So like, tying it into the agenda, if you're writing it down and scheduling things in properly, you're gonna, you know, get A, B, and C done instead of just thinking about A, B, and C, and then by the end of the day, you just have A or even half of A done.
That's so, probably the worst thing you could ever do, just thinking about your goals mentally and not writing it down.
Exactly.
You will never get anything done.
Exactly. So always write things down in your agenda. Always, always, always. You will get things done. I'm telling you, at least 80% will be done compared to just mentally stating things. You'll get like 40% done.
And we talked about it earlier in one of our podcasts, journaling. It's a good way to keep track of your progress.
Exactly. So these are some tips we have. But I just want to lastly mention, just start. And don't worry if it's not perfect. Adjust as you go. That's a technique we're using for our podcast. We are not experts in podcasting. We don't have the best mic out there, but we just started. And you know, that's what kind of took us forever to start, is like, I wanted the best. I wanted the best microphone. I wanted the best setup. I wanted the best room to record in. And life goes on, especially with being a student. We're constantly like moving around and things are changing. And I knew that I can't have perfection, and I won't have perfection just in order to start the podcast. So I just started. We just started recording. I do want to mention, like, we have tried like some different mics, and we have tried some different kind of like websites to use to record. And you're gonna have to do that. You can't just like use the first thing, but it's not perfect, and we know that. And we just started it, and we will definitely adjust as, you know, things grow, as things change.
And before we do finish this off, there's this person that I kind of follow and just kind of like listen to. His name's Ido Portal, and there's this Hebrew word called the beginner's mindset, and that's basically what we're trying to explain, is nothing will ever come out pretty at the beginning, but
exactly,
as you keep going, as you become more consistent with it,
yeah,
the more finer you will become at your technique or at whatever you're trying to specialize in.
Yeah. When we first started working out, I didn't know how to even do a squat, okay? I was probably looking foolish. Things were definitely wrong. But you're only going to get better at things if you keep practicing every single day. Make it a habit. Create a routine. And start doing. Don't keep saying you want to do things. Don't make excuses. Remove these excuses. If, you know, you can't work out because you're very busy, you gotta wake up an hour early.
Yep.
You have to.
And there's no such thing as, oh, but this person is born to do this. Like, yes, obviously there's people that are very talented, but
you can go further
yes, than someone that is talented if you apply all of these techniques.
Exactly. So that's all we have for you guys today. We hope you're gonna do more and say less. And as you're working on it, we're going to be working on it too. So I hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see you on our next podcast. Bye.